now time for another episode of the Marriage Podcast Network.
Yeah, parents need playdates too.
Welcome to the Marriage Podcast Network, helping you find and keep passion and fun in your marriage. Broadcasting from Tuscola, Texas, here are your hosts, Trey and Corey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to the Marriage Podcast Network, where we help you find and keep passion and fun in your marriage. Broadcasting from Tuscola, Texas, we are your hosts, Trey and Corey Gibson. We have a fun topic today, where we are going to talk a little bit about your play buddy. That's right, that's right. You hear all of these wonderful things. We always talk about these topics like communication and sex and talking about kids and all these other different things about marriage. But I think one of the number one things, and correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, Corey, but one of the one things that we forget to talk the most about is making sure that your partner is your play buddy.
That's right.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. The date today is December the 6th, 2012. This is episode 8 of the Marriage Pod. Can you believe that, Corey?
It seems, sorry, I kind of had a brain fart, but it seems like it's so more, but yet so few. So anyways, it's we've been getting some real kind emails and likes, and so it's made it a lot more fun. It's made it really cool, actually.
You know, this is actually particularly relevant for us because, you know, this week, Corey and I have kind of in a unique opportunity right now. I'm getting ready to go out of town on a conference, and luckily I work, my day job is an incredibly cool place, and we're getting to go as a family, and I'm going to be at a conference, but we're going to get to spend some time together as a family. So this is, in a lot of ways, this is going to be kind of pertinent to us this this weekend, because I got to hear those words that I'm pretty sure every man desires to hear from their wife. And I know there's exceptions to every rule, but we sat there and we said, you know, hey, what do we want to go watch? You know, like, what are we going to do in there? Because my sister-in-law offered to watch the kids when we first get there and give us a little time to go out on a date night, which we don't get very many date nights,
and we really don't
value them. We don't get very many of them. And so when she suggested we do that, we said, you know, why don't we go watch a movie while we're there and enjoy some fun time, maybe go out to eat together. And we said, you know, what do we want to watch? And so the first words that comes out of my wife's mouth, you know, are the words, you know, hey, we could go watch Twilight, the new Twilight movie. Now, first off, before I come off sounding like one of those husbands, I actually really like the Twilight series. I'm sorry I said it. I'll have my wife pick up my man card off the ground here in a little bit. But I actually like the show. My wife kept talking about it. I was like, nah, I'm not going to, you know, when she was reading the books, and I picked up that stupid book and just absolutely got sucked into it. And so she said those words, and I thought, oh, okay, all right. But I'm kind of excited about that. But then her eyes lit up, and to the beauty of my wife, she said those words, oh, by the way, we could go watch Red Dawn. So, by the way, you're so hot to me right now, just for the record. So we're going to go watch Red Dawn. So that's what we're going to talk a little bit today about, is your play buddy. Do you have a good play buddy set up with your kid? Sorry, I just got finished recording Family Podcast Network. With your spouse. Do you
kids
have
are
that?
Important, too. Don't
they
get us
are
wrong.
Too. But we're going to talk a little bit today about the importance of making sure that when it comes to your spouse, that you have that good relationship set up. Before we do that, guys, let's get into our housekeeping for today. As always, we want to say thank you for being here. If you guys will, head over to themarriagepodcast.com. Over on the right-hand sidebar, there is a little place over there where you can enter in your name and your email address. Why do we put that there? We put these things out at random times during the week, although we're getting solidified, I think, on Thursdays now. But we put those things out there. We want to make sure that you have the availability, that if you're wondering, what did Trey and Corey talk about today? If you want to get yourself fired up for the crazy shenanigans that we go through whenever we do these things, you can have waiting in your email every morning when we put these things out and they officially go live, the ability to see what do we talk about that day. We do that because we want to make sure that with as many episodes as we're going to continue to kick out as we keep this show going, we want to make sure that you never miss out on an episode. So make sure that you run over there, themarriagepodcast.com, and enter in your name and your email address. We do not solicit your email ever. We hate spam. Next up, guys, don't forget to like us over on Facebook, Twitter, all that other good stuff. We want to connect with you. One of the best parts of this job is when we get the sweet, we just got a sweet email back from one lady who said, you know, I'm not even married yet, and I listened to y'all's podcast, and Corey got choked up. I got choked up. And see, that's what we're looking for. Yeah. And so we sure do appreciate that.
It's
so
just confirming.
Exactly.
It really is.
So if you guys want to take some time, send us an email. We love hearing back from you guys. Compliments, encouragement, all that other kind of stuff is great. But also, if you have any questions for us, hey, would y'all do an episode on this? We want to do that. You can email me at trey@themarriagepodcast.com or corey@themarriagepodcast.com and just put something in the title like topic suggestion suggestion like that. You can also go to themarriagepodcast.com. Over in the right-hand bar, it says ask a question. If you click on that, you will leave an email. As long as you have a built-in microphone or computer, you can leave an email and put out an idea or a thought or something that you want to hear. If you want to ask us a question, have it answered online, we'd love to do that for you. With all of that said, guys, we are wrapping up that part of this session. Let's go ahead and jump into our topic today. Corey, take it away. What are we talking about today?
Well, Trey and I are, he had mentioned, we're going out of town this weekend, and we're so excited. I'm sure y'all have heard us mention it. We don't go out of town much at all, and we sure as heck don't stay at a hotel. I mean, I can probably count on one hand how many times we have stayed at a hotel during the entire 10 years that we've been together. We just don't get out very much.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Trey was making a funny face. I wasn't sure if I was doing something weird. Anyways, so we're going to go out of town. We're going to be out of town tomorrow and through Saturday or Sunday. And my sister, we're just so happened to be in the Fort Worth, Dallas area. And that's where a lot of my family is. And my sister asked to watch the kids, and having four of them, not many people ask to watch all four of the kids. And I say that actually people ask us all the time. Don't get me wrong. We just can't afford to pay a babysitter to watch all four of the kids very often. So my sister offered to watch all of them, and it was just awesome. So she's going to watch him, and Trey and I get about two or three dates a year. So I was super pumped, and it just kind of got me thinking about what a awesome playmate my husband is.
You
good
did
Lord,
it too.
I'm still stuck on the family podcast. It's late, just in case y'all are wondering. So if we blubber, that's what it is. Anyway, so it just got me thinking that just what a great match Trey and I are, and how much fun we have playing together. And so when I was typing up the notes for this, Trey asked what we were going to talk about this week, and I said we're going to talk about our spouse as our playmate. And he goes, didn't we already talk about something like that? And I thought about it, and I realized that when we did the five common arguments or whatever it is in marriage, we talked about time, and this could definitely be lumped into time. But I also realized that we talked about the five most common things talked about in marriage, and so pretty much anything we talk about is somehow going to be linked to that. And it was just really, I felt it was very pertinent, something we need to talk about, because I just don't think spouses think about as their partner, as their playmate. You know, we're together, we live together, we work together with our family. If we don't have a family, we're keeping a house, we're paying the bills. And I think sometimes we forget to stop and think, especially the longer we've been married, that our spouse is our playmate.
You know, Corey and I are a great team. I mean, we really are. I mean, it's one of the – I consider it a huge honor to get to be married to my wife. And I don't just mean that as a fluff, oh, you're going to get lucky tonight. I mean, I really authentically deep within my heart mean that. And one of the reasons for that is that, I mean, we just make an incredible team. We're a good fit for each other, and we play well with each other. However, the fact of the matter is that hasn't always been the case. And so one of the things we wanted to set this up with is we kind of wanted to explain to you what we looked like. What were our play styles whenever we first got married? Because they were very different, and they really had to morph, evolve in a lot of ways. Some things had to grow, and some things had to die, and to get us to where we are today. So let's kind of paint the picture for and we're going to break it up and kind of describe ourselves, but let's kind of describe what did play look like for me whenever we first got married. Well, I mean, I came from the classic Generation Y, video game playing, lock yourself in a dark room and hook to the internet. And I remember my first 2 years of undergraduate, I mean, staying up till 3 or 4 in the morning playing Medal of Honor Allied Assault on my computer with two buddies upstairs online. And we had so much fun. And so I grew up in kind of that, you know, that inside, you know, and not all people in my generation are that way, but, you know, a lot of us are. So just inside gaming, LAN parties, you know, just that classic nerddom that goes, you know, that I hold as a badge of honor in my life. And so that was kind of the approach to it. I mean, it was very lethargic, sedentary in a lot of ways, very, you know, kick back, relax, you know, watch a show, play yeah. video games, do homework, and that kind of thing. So that was kind of the approach that we took. Now, the reason why this is so interesting, because Corey was very different.
Yeah, total opposite. And I think a lot of it also had to do with my parents. But, you know, Trey is just enough younger than me that really the whole internet thing –
I like my ladies mature.
But it hadn't fully coalesced to the point of being able to game like he did. But beyond that, I grew up in a very active family. We lived in Colorado for many years. So, I mean, we were outside a lot. We went skiing a lot. I started riding horses at a very young age. And then when we moved to Colorado, my stepfather bought me a horse. So I guarantee you, I rode that horse probably 4 or 5 times a week. And that's just what I did. We didn't have TV. I mean, not like we didn't watch TV, as in like we didn't have TV, and which was unusual. But that's just kind of how my parents were, and I learned how to deal with it. I remember being 16, and my dad gave me a 13-inch screen TV. And so that it was basically an iPhone size, you know, when you look back. I mean, it really was. It was like the size of an iPhone screen wise, but like the size of an old PC as far as mass goes. And I just remember huddled around that 13-inch watching X-Files. And that was my TV time growing up. But I did like it. I am an outside person. I love to garden. I love to ride horses. And I mean, my goodness, you couldn't be any more opposite than an in-the-dark gamer up until 3 or 4 to an outside avid horse rider up at 4 or 5, you know? And so we really came together being completely opposite when it came to playtime. So therefore, we did what most people would think of. We didn't really play for a while.
You know, one of the parts of our premarital counseling, and really in all truthfulness, we didn't engender it. We didn't take it to heart quite as readily at the start. But that was one of the things they talked about, was the importance of needing a playmate. And so why is this idea of a playmate so important? First off, I think we kind of poo-poo as we get older as adults on play. We see play as what kids do, right? Yeah. Little kids play and stuff like that. But I don't think we realize how important, how much there's a relational component to that, that causes two people to really come together and do something that is, I call it the DMZ, that demilitarized zone. There's no fighting. There's no argument. We don't talk about kids or grades or any of that other junk that we might get into fights about. And it's just that moment where you sit down and you just enjoy each other's presence through entertainment, whether that be sitting down and watching The Walking Dead. That's a big one for us. Or whether it's sitting outside and we sip coffee, or late in the evenings we'll go out and we'll smoke cigars or drink a glass of wine on the back, you know, on the front porch while we visit about our days and those kinds of things. And the issue is humans have an innate desire, a need to connect. That's just the way it is. Yeah. We like that. Now, don't get me wrong, there's differences in terms of like personalities. Corey and I are kind of weird when it comes down to it. We're both high extroverts. We like to be around people. Really, and so But even in, you know, introverts, those people that kind of recharge their batteries by being alone, need to connect with people. And so playtime is so inherently important to this.
Yeah. And so, you know, when Trey and I first started dating, I mean, y'all that are married or dating is probably why you're listening to this podcast. I mean, you remember what it's like. You know, you do want to spend time together and you have fun and so on and so forth. But when you get married, you kind of separate out a little bit. And I think that's normal. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But Trey and I did still desire to play together. And so what we did is we took our likes and then did each other's likes. So to start with, Trey would start riding horses with me every once in a while.
Scared me to death.
And I broke horses. So
We were riding the stupidest ones ever is what she's trying to say.
So a lot of the horses that I owned were pretty green. And like I said, I've been riding since I was very young. I used to show. I wasn't just to go ride a horse out in the pasture. I mean, I did show and all that kind of stuff. And so I knew to be wise and smart. And I didn't just go throw Trey on a you know, 4-year-old gelding that I had just broke or whatever. But I had a funny story. I had a horse named John Deere. I didn't name him. He came
stupid
with that
horse.
And I got him. Gosh, he was probably 3 or 4 when I got him. Had never been touched, but he was the sweetest horse. He just wanted to be loved on. And so anyway, so I had, before Trey and I had met, I'd probably worked with him for a couple of years. He'd become a really great horse, super laid back. I felt very comfortable on him. And I was boarding him at this horse ranch that had tons of other horses. So I grabbed a horse from out in the pasture that I was going to ride because I had never ridden him before. And I certainly went against stick Trey on them. And so I stuck Trey on John Deere, and we got to riding down the road. We were just going to do our podunk cowboy ride. And we got, gosh, probably not, what, 50 yards from the barn. And I kind of hear some rustling behind me, and I turn around to see John Deere rearing. And if y'all don't know what rearing is, it's basically when they pull up and they're on their back legs. Think of like the Lone Ranger or something like that. Not nearly as dramatic, but when you're on the back of the horse, it feels like you could touch the sky.
I was flying.
So I look back and see him kind of popping up on his legs. He probably wasn't going up any more than 6 or 8.
No, no.
I'm sorry. It was at least 15 feet.
There you go.
At least 15 feet.
Thank you, ma'am.
And I see this look of trying to look really cool, but I just crapped my pants.
Oh, yeah. Change of drawers. Change of drawers type thing.
And anyways, long story short, we went back. We went back.
See, what happened was that was the first time I ever broke a horse. Because literally, my legs were clamping so hard on this horse, I broke that sucker.
I don't know that Trey ever rode John Deere again, and we had him for several years. But it was Trey trying to fit into my mold of play.
You know, the other part of it too is that I was the gamer, right? And so what we would do is what was called LAN parties. And for any of you guys that may not know what that is, it just stands for local area network. But what that means is when you take multiple computers and you plug them in together, and then you host a game where everybody's in that game. And so we would have a house full of us dorks sitting there, you know, on our computers playing against each other. And we played this game called Far Cry at the time, and it was just such a great multiplayer game. And we would sit down and we'd play it, and it was great fellowship time. Just, oh, you good shot, man. You just totally shot me out of that tree. You know, just all of that kind of stuff. And I remember that it was actually kind of fun because we had a little better, a better reaction whenever it came to incorporating Corey into my play. Because luckily the you know, computers don't go crazy on you and trample you all 1,200 pounds of weight with you, right? And so, but we went to play, and I'm telling you, Corey turned into a formidable gamer.
Oh, God.
She really was. And she got to where she was a formidable guy, and she would come and game, and we would have fun. And I remember that look in her eyes when she got it, when LAN parties made sense to her.
It really is fun. I mean, the cool kid, popular kid in me wanted to think, oh my God, giant computer nerds, which they were. They were all giant computer nerds. And then I became one. And it really was fun. And we would, this was before we had kids, we would literally leave our house at what, 4 or 5,
yeah,
maybe?
Oh, yeah.
And we'd get there. And this is before really laptops were real big. And so we'd be carrying our big old
PCs.
PC monitors. I mean, it took 4 or 5 trips, you know, everything in tubs and go to whomever's house we were going to that day. And get all set up. You know, it took everybody probably an hour just to get everything set up. And then we'd order pizza. And then we would literally play until 4 or 5 in the morning. Literally.
And we would. And let's be clear here about what is the play made out of this. The play in the games is fun because there's the interaction. Yeah. There's the somebody, you know, Patrick Cohen. I got to bring him up. Patrick Cohen in the other room going, ha, 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 you just got shot by your wife. You know, we would have stuff like that happening. And then, but what was really the fun part was the interaction with that as we played, but on the trip home. in most style of humans, we sat there and talked. Yeah, we had that one time where I did this, and we had that. Oh, yeah, there was that one shot that I made on that one. And you see what happens?
Yeah.
We had something that we connected on. There was something that we had a similar fascination and interest and love on, and we began to talk about it. And that is what I'm talking about. Why is this so important to bring up? Again, yeah, we have the desire to need to do that.
Yeah.
And if our spouses are not filling that need.
There we go.
More often than not, somebody else will. Somebody will fill that. And that is why this is so important.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we got to talk a little bit about how did we compromise on this. And I think it's very, very important to remember how we compromised on this. And we've had to continue to evolve that. When we had our first kid, I played video games anyway. You put her in a play, you know, put her in a you know, chunk her in a playpen or something like that. Just throw her on the floor and, you know, and bunk her in or whatever, you know, just.
I think I told y'all the story of coming home and dishes were still everywhere. The house was a wreck. I had been grocery shopping or something. I come home and Trey's rocking the kid in that, you know, bouncy chair on the left leg and sitting there gaming. And she wasn't crying, was his excuse.
The kid probably needed Dramamine by the time I got done. I was pumping that sucker. Boom, 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 boom. She was probably sick to her stomach, but. But you know, we had our first kid, and I could do it. We had two kids, then I could put one in a playpen, and another one in a front pack. And I've got a really funny, maybe it's not funny, maybe it's bad parenting meme picture worthy. But I've got a picture of my son Grant sitting in my front pack, and I've got the controller resting on his head as I'm playing. But kid number three came along, and that had been one of the ways that we played together. But there came a point to where. We couldn't make it work anymore. I couldn't. Go ahead.
Well, and you know, up until this time, we still had, you know, I still had horses and Trey still had games. And so whereas Trey may not have ridden with me much anymore, he would still go out with me to the horses. You know, I still had that desire to be out there and I still worked him. And really I rode up to, and don't judge me, but I rode up to 6 months pregnant with Grant.
Oh, you've done been judged.
And you know, and I know a lot of women who are riding. I mean, you know, it's not much different than being a runner or a jogger, besides the fact you can fall off. But regardless, I rode for through several of my pregnancies. And so Trey would still, I was still showing. And so Trey would come and watch me every once in a while. And now and then I'd get new horses in. He'd come out and oo-ah at them with me for a little bit. And every once in a while I'd sell them and we'd rejoice. And anyways, and then, you know, Trey still had his games and every once in a while I'd still play games with him. And then there's those times where he went and played games without me and that was okay. It really was. But, you know, we were still trying to fit into each other's molds instead of making our own playmate mold.
And don't get us wrong. We're not suggesting that you don't have those separate of your spouse. Absolutely, you've got to.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, every so often we'll go and play games every so often, just me and the guys. Or really, I guess now, I'm pretty open.
Not so much
games
anymore.
Yeah, I'm a shooter now, and I do a lot of shooting. And when I say shooting, we're talking about safe, you know, appropriate shooting here.
People.
Not stupid, idiot kind of stuff. But, you know, I do a lot of shooting nowadays, and we go do those separate of each other. You know, Corey's got her things that she still does separate of me. And so we're not suggesting that everything that you do has got to be that. But what we are saying is there needs to be, I would even go as far, I mean, correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, Corey, but I would even say there needs to be more things that you're doing together than you are not.
Yes, I agree. And I think the big thing that can happen is a marriage is stressful. I mean, it just is.
Yeah.
And then you throw kids into it and it just is. And then you start throwing in the money factor and the car factor paying the bills and cleaning and cooking and washing clothes and shopping. You throw all that in together and it may seem like you're spending a lot of time together, but all you're really spending time together doing is very stressful things. And you've got to find a way to unwind with each other as well.
You know, and the interesting thing about this is we're setting this up very strategically to say that this is going to morph. It's going to change. I mean, you know, what we used to do to play when we first started, really, there's very little that we do. We don't own horses.
Yeah.
I don't even really own a console that I play games on anymore.
Yeah.
And so we've really kind of – things have kind of morphed, and we want to make sure that we're very clear on this. That is the sign of a good, healthy relationship. Yeah. If a plant is put in the ground and then it comes up as like a sprout and then it never changes, that's not a good thing. We don't look at that and say, oh, good. No, it morphs and it changes, right? Yeah. It becomes something new to that point that it continues to bear fruit, right? Sticking with the metaphor here. And that's what our marriages need to do as well. Corey and I now – We don't go outside and mess with horses. One of these days we'll have them again, but we don't do that right now. So what do? Now we have what we call our morning fellowship, our coffee, where we go outside. You hear who that meets, whose need that meets, right there. We go outside, we sit down, we take our coffee mugs. Kids are foreboding from coming outside. And we sit out there and we sip on coffee and we visit. What's going on? You know, we're open and confessing that we're believers in the Christian Bible. We talk about what we learned that morning, what we read, you know, in the Bible. Or we talk about what's going on this week, or how Corey wanted to punch one of the kids in the face, or how I wanted to strangle somebody at the office, right? I mean, whatever's on our hearts, that's where we do it. Again, remember, just like we talked about, the important thing in the gaming, it wasn't the gaming itself. Yeah. It was that connection that we made at the end of it that made it special. Mm-hmm. And that is so important. We've also gotten to where now, like every so often, we'll take once every 2-3 weeks, we just make we'll have a Star Wars marathon. Yeah. You know, I've really started breaking my kids in, right? I mean, I figure once we get them through all these Star Wars and we get all the names down, my job as a dad's done, right? So
I thought when your daughter farted on my head today, your job was
never
a
mind.
Dad.
Yeah, you're
done.
Right. That it was finished at that point. So never mind. I'm good. What are we even having this thing for? I have reached nirvana in my parenting and husbandness. So. So anyway, but you hear that inside, sitting down, you know, watching movies, doing that nerd stuff. Whose was that meeting? Whose needs are those meeting right there?
Yeah.
See how that works?
Yeah. And it has morphed. And like Trey said, right now we don't have horses, and we will again someday. Anna, my 6-year-old, she is her mama's daughter. She wants to be around horses, and I've trained her on some things and whatnot. But we just don't have them. They're time consuming and they're expensive, and we just don't have a whole lot of games anymore. And so that's time consuming and expensive for all that matters. But we have changed in how we do play. And, you know, I know outsiders could look at it, well, you're not really playing. Well, for us it is.
Yeah.
It's quality time together. It's fun. It's enjoyable. We're meeting each other's needs, whether it's, you know, being outside drinking that coffee or even gardening. Trey's really gotten into gardening now. And we have a huge garden. It's bigger than our house.
A bit more square footage than our house.
Yeah, it's over 1,000 square feet. And we love our garden. And that's something we spend time together on.
You know, and Corey ordered the notes this way very strategically because we want you to listen to see how this is working, how we are morphing and how these things are changing to become what they are. Because, I mean, I really want you to listen to how things have gone. It started off two very separate, different things that now have come together and are starting to kind of become more similar in what we like and what we love. And I think there's a good reason for that. You know, whenever we get married, we always think of the iconic, you know, unity candle. You got the one candle in the middle that's unlit and the two that are lit, right? And then what you do is when you know, you get married, the two married couple come up, each one of them grab a candle and they light the middle one as well. And that's kind of significant. Some of them blow the other two candles out. I don't necessarily agree with that on a metaphoric metaphoric level, but not a big deal when they do it.
Right.
But the mentality of it is that two people that were once completely unique individuals are coming together to make a unit now. And you see how that has happened in Corey's and our lives, is that each individual desire, want, and need of those two, the longer that we go, we find ourselves just kind of meeting in the middle. Corey mentioned something to me before this whole coffee thing started on the porch. She made a comment about how she just remembers seeing this one picture of this man and this woman sitting up in their kitchen drinking coffee out of clear glasses, out of clear coffee glasses. And she said that always really stuck with her.
First thing, I want to say real quick – I had a very difficult childhood growing up, and I remember as probably 13, 14 years old seeing this picture, and it was an advertisement probably for creamer because it was clear coffee cups. Now that I look back, it's been, 15 years, I guess, however old I am. But I remember somehow thinking that drinking coffee in clear cups would make you a happy couple. Yeah. I did. And, you know, it's kind of sad, but it's also kind of funny too, because it, in my mind, I grew up thinking that if I could just have clear coffee cups and somebody sit and drink coffee with them, we would be happy. But there's actually been a lot of truth to it now.
You know, when Corey first suggested this, I'm going to be honest, my first thought was, coffee tastes like crap. I didn't drink coffee.
I forget. You weren't a coffee drinker. That's right.
Didn't see it at all. But that is one of the natural progressive stages of healthy marriages, is that they begin to mold into one. I know it sounds cliche, but there really is a lot of truth to that. I can honestly say that two things happen frequently for me. Number one, Corey finishes my sentences. It's because we're beginning to mold into that single unit. And second off, if she's not in the room and I'm sorry, guys, I'm an only child. I talk to myself all the freaking time. And when I do it, what I'm imagining is what would Corey say when she's here. And so that's the mentality that we're talking about when it comes to this play buddy stuff, is the longer that we go, we need to be molding into each other, finding those things that are unique to us, finding those things that are no longer Trey, that are no longer Corey, but it's the Gibson family that's ours. And that is a very, very crucial piece of healthy marriage. Find your play buddy and start molding yourself together.
And I do want to mention real quick, coffee and gardening may not be for you. And this isn't poor, pitiful us, but we live on a very small budget. And so for us, that's what we need to do. Now for somebody who maybe has more money or makes more money, you may be able to do things that are a little more out of the house or more extravagant. But I want to reiterate though, it's still good to have time separate as well.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that all your free time should be spent playing with your spouse. So find the checkerboard and get out and start playing checkers, which, you know, maybe that is for you. But separate time is important as well. And so don't hear us saying you must spend all your free time with your spouse playing.
All right, sweet. Anything else we need to talk about before we wrap this sucker up?
I think that's good. I think that's good. I think we're all, sorry, Trey was doing some kind of unknown sign language. Language.
I was wondering, you know, if you're taking us out or if I am.
Okay, no, I'll be happy to take us out. But thank you for joining us today on the Marriage Podcast Network. And we're so glad that you're listening. And thank you for sending the kind emails and comments. We love getting comments. Again, it's so confirming. And if you have a chance, go stop by themarriagepodcast.com and leave us a comment on this podcast. Tell us what you thought. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you didn't like. Tell us what you felt we should have added. And then shoot us an email, Trey, T-R-E-Y, @themarriagepodcast.com, or Corey, C-O-R-R-I-E, @themarriagepodcast.com, and ask us some questions. Give us some comments. Also, be sure to check us out on Facebook. We're still kind of new. I haven't put a whole lot up yet, but we are there. We are there, and we'd like you to check us out. So thank you again, guys. I hope y'all have a great weekend.
Go play.